Hi everyone, good to see you. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and we are delighted to be with you here in Austin. This is our third Thursday World Peace Diet Circle call for Thursday, December 15th, 2022. And great to see all your faces, and we're delighted to be able to do this. We're on the road. It's a little bit somewhat challenging, but we're managing here at the moment. So if you have any comments or questions, please feel free to press star 6 to unmute yourself. You can also chat in the chat if you have a comment. If for some reason technically you can't hear me or see me or whatever, feel free to write in the chat. It might be the easiest thing, or just raise your hand by pressing star 6. Or you can also go down at the bottom with where it says reactions and raise your hand. All right, so we're delighted to be here, and Madeline also is in the room, and so is Lisa Wong. We're all in the same room here at the place called Casa de Luz.
Hey, Madeline and Lisa.
In Austin, Texas. We gave a lecture here last night, and we're heading on tomorrow to San Antonio. So we specially left a little gap in our schedule, so we could have our third Thursday conversation together. Saturday we'll be in Houston, and 2 days later we'll be in Tallahassee, and then we'll be in Florida for quite a few weeks after that until late March. So we would like to go ahead and get started. I think it's no time like the present, so let's go ahead and get started. I will I apologize. For some reason, normally on Thursday I always send out two emails, one earlier in the day and then a reminder. And I'm not sure why that didn't go. It was scheduled to go, and it never went. I'm not sure if it's because of time zone changes, perhaps, or something. I'm not sure. But I'll check on that. But anyway, so I think we have a light turnout, partly because we never had a chance to send out the reminder. But anyway, we'll just go ahead begin our call. So let's take a moment. We'll begin with our meditation. I think that's always a good thing to do. And so get comfortable as you'd like in our meditation. This is a shorter one we do here on the third Thursday, but let's just take a few moments and connect with our breathing, connecting with the indwelling sense we have of being connected to this beautiful earth and all of the animals that are here and the whole human family, the whole web of life, being part of the unfoldment of this beautiful and abundant earth and universe. So we give thanks for this opportunity that we have this evening to connect more deeply with our inner resources, our inner wisdom, to make connections with each other, with kindred spirits, and to get inspiration and insight and understanding to help us navigate our world more skillfully and to help be more effective in our advocacy for animals and for the environment, for human beings, for future generations. We give thanks for the inner wisdom that is shining always in our heart, and the kindness and compassion and creativity, intuitive awareness, all these different inner resources that we have at our disposal. And we especially give thanks to the other human beings who share this earth with us, especially those who are working together with us to help raise awareness about the consequences of our mistreatment of animals for food and clothing and other uses and products. We give thanks for all of those who have gone before us, who have laid the groundwork through their hard work and efforts and energy and insight and sacrifice, that they have done the best they could to help bring more peace and healing and freedom and abundance into our world. We give thanks for those who are with us on the earth right now and who are learning and who are teaching, who are sharing their wisdom and understanding and their efforts. And we give thanks for all of those who are to come, those of future generations who will continue the work that we are engaged in, that we are part of an ongoing symphony of actions, a beautiful unfoldment of creativity and insight and inspiration, working through all different spheres, working through the arts and creativity, working through politics, working through commerce, working through education, working through the healthcare system, working through a whole variety of ways, through family structures as individuals, through communities, to help people turn on the inner light of their awareness and wisdom, to follow a path of kindness and compassion, to forsake the ways of deception and delusion that are leading us to harm so many millions of animals and humans. We give thanks knowing that there is a tremendous abundance of resources on this earth when, as Gandhi said, we only use what we need, not what is a manifestation of our greed. So let's connect now with our hearts and just reside and abide in our true nature and radiate together into the infinite web of relations a feeling of loving kindness. So breathing and radiating loving kindness in all the directions all around us, like an ever-expanding sphere of light, just breathing and radiating loving-kindness, a sense of benevolence and goodwill in all directions to all living beings. With every exhalation, we're radiating love and kindness and benevolence and goodwill to every manifestation of life on this earth. May all beings be happy and have all of the causes of happiness. Breathing and radiating love. And now with every inhalation, we engender in our heart the feeling of compassion. And as we exhale, we radiate compassion in every direction simultaneously in an ever-expanding sphere of light, sending compassion and empathy to all living beings, the yearning that all beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering, and the yearning also to act to help relieve the suffering of others. So we're radiating from our heart the greatest love, the deepest love is the love of compassion. Radiating compassion and kindness in all directions to all beings, and sending love and compassion also to the being that we are, unique and precious being, it goes by our name and form. We hold ourselves and all beings in a heart of loving kindness and compassion. Abiding in our true home of compassion. Beautiful. And now with every inhalation, we engender in our heart the feeling of joy. Great joy that needs no reasons in the outer world. Joy that shines always at the core of our being. The radiant wellspring of joy that always abides in our heart. The opportunity to see and hear, taste, touch, and smell. To perceive and know and understand and contribute. To make an effort to awaken and to help others also, however we can, to be useful in the great work of the liberation of human beings and animals on this earth at this time. So we give thanks for the joy that is shining in our heart. We allow this joy to overflow from our heart in ever-expanding spheres of light, sending joy into the infinite web of relations, joy of being, shining through all living beings. breathing and radiating joy. Beautiful. And then finally now we connect with peace, the inner peace and harmony of our true nature, the inner sense of serenity, being at peace with ourselves, being at peace with our actions, our thoughts and our feelings, being at peace with all of the arisings on this earth, at peace with the foundation of life. And so with every exhalation, we allow this feeling of peace to radiate from our heart. When our heart is filled with love and compassion and joy, we are just naturally and organically, we are at peace. Abiding in this peace now and just sending it forth to bless all living beings in all directions. Giving thanks, knowing that the truth, the deepest truth, is the truth of infinite and eternal peace and harmony. The infinite divine power that creates our planet and all life in the universe abides in peace. So we see the earth now shining as a beautiful jewel in the true home of peace. Breathing and radiating peace and abiding in our true home of peace. So now consecutively we practice the four Viharas, breathing and radiating love, breathing and radiating compassion, breathing and radiating joy, breathing and radiating peace. Let's just do that a few times on our own. Abiding in love, compassion, joy, and peace, and radiating with every exhalation. Radiating love, radiating compassion, radiating joy, and radiating peace. Abiding in our true home of love, compassion, joy, and peace. So as I say these words, just allow yourself to really feel the feelings that these words are pointing to. Abiding in love for all beings. Abiding in compassion for all. Abiding in joy. A great joy, and abiding in peace, a great peace and harmony that are always established. No matter what's happening in the outer world, the depths of our being, we are at peace, always. Great, all right, so we close our meditation now by affirming the truth that each and every one of us, as we go forth into our lives, are connecting every day more fully and deeply with our inner wisdom and guidance, that we are part of the awakening of humanity on this earth, awakening out of the delusion of separateness and of exploitation of other living beings, and that we are co-creating a movement for the liberation of animals, and the liberation of humans, the benefit of all beings of the past, present, and future. We give thanks knowing this is so. And so it is. All right. Bless you all. Thanks so much for joining together in our meditation time. It's delightful to be with you. And so I'd like to go ahead and share the screen with my beloved spouse, Madeline, who's here. We're traveling together in a tiny little van. It's living in 48 square feet. Get to know each other pretty well. Andy knows all about that. So, Madeline, would you like to say a little something about how things are going here for you and whatever comes to mind?
Yeah. We are in this beautiful, cities aren't that beautiful, but this part of the city in Austin is really beautiful. It's the Barton Springs, if you ever heard of that. It's these clear waters coming from deep under the ground, bubbling up, and one can swim and bathe in them, and it's really beautiful. And right by these springs, there is Casa de Luz, and this is a vegan, organic, whole food restaurant. It's kind of a little bit a macrobiotic taste, but very delicious, very fulfilling. Right, Lisa? It was so good. And it's really good. And what I really like to share also, since I'm really for organic for the last already 50 years, organic is my big thing, that we don't spew out pesticides and fertilizers and all that, because we're killing the fish and all the insects, the bees get kind of misled in the air. They can't find their hives anymore, and it's really a tragedy to have that. So organic is really important. And the consciousness of the people actually rises. We can see it. More and more people have a consciousness for organic. And we find now and then also a cafe or restaurant which is organic, which is really great, because we're strictly organic. As you know, our food forest is even veganic. So, yeah, it's really a joy to see that the world gets better. Even the shadows get stronger, but it's because the light gets stronger, then we can see the shadows more. So, and I don't like to say too many more things, but I'm doing the wrist warmers. So if any of you
knitting
them in meditation, and if you still need some wrist warmers, we still have some time to send them out. We send out books and wrist warmers every few days. And so they're really keeping your pulse warm. In Switzerland, we call them pulse warmers.
Pulse wärmerli.
Yeah. And it's like really very beneficial, because also the meridians go through here through the wrist, and to keep this part warm is very health benefiting. So yeah, I let you go and listen to Will some more, and yeah, see you again, and thank you for being here.
Thanks, Madeline. Beautiful. Great. Yeah. Yeah. She's knitting out, like trying to keep up with, we're selling quite a few as we give these lectures. And so she's knitting as we're driving, you know, trying to catch up and knit enough for the next lecture. But it's going, she's got a little bit of an inventory. You need an inventory so people have a bunch to choose from. But yeah, I just want to say this place where we are right now, it's really unique in the whole United States, maybe, you know, the whole world, really. It's called Casa de Luz, House of Light. And we were eating dinner. We came here yesterday and had dinner with Michael Clapper, if you know who he is. He's a pretty well-known vegan MD, and his wife, Elise. They just invited us to dinner. They've just recently moved from Florida to Austin. So they're living here now. And he's a longtime vegan MD, one of the best known vegan MDs, I think, who really knows a lot about how, when people have specific issues, if you're a vegan and you're having specific issues, how to resolve those. And I can go into some of those things more in detail if you're interested. But we had dinner with him last night, and then we gave a lecture right here in Casa de Luz. I just want to say a couple of words about Casa de Luz. It means House of Light, like I said, and it's been here for close to 30 years, founded by a fellow named Eduardo, and we just met his son an hour ago. And it's a whole community. It's not just a restaurant. It's a community. It's a real community space. There's about 15 meeting rooms here. So right now, all around us, there are people meeting and giving cooking classes and giving classes in all different types of healing modalities and healthy relationships and interactive different things. I mean, everything you can think of, they're doing. They have alternative, a bar where it's non-alcoholic, all different kinds of organic teas and things like that, and they have entertainment. All kinds of people, alternative people, come here and learn and share and do all kinds of things, and they serve food every single day of the year. They never shut down with COVID, ever. They just stayed through. They knew it was a big hoax, which was kind of cool. No one who works here is vaccinated. I mean, they're all people who understand it's vegan, organic food. And you come here to eat, and you just give them $14, and you get a plate of food. You know, that's it. It's like whatever the food is for that day, that's what you get. You know, it's just, it's always the same. I mean, it's different, but it's a soup and grain and rice, brown rice, of course, and salad and vegetables and so forth. It's really delicious. And plenty to eat, and they have really healthy desserts. And they're just creating like an energy vortex here, I think, in Austin. It's right near the downtown, but right near the Spartan Springs, where we go swimming. And we've been giving lectures here for years. I gave a lecture here like 25 years ago. Or maybe not that long ago, maybe 20 years ago, about 20 years ago. So it's great to be here. And so we were actually wondering what we were going to do about our call tonight, because it's difficult. You know, there's a woman we know, we could go to her house and try to do our third Thursday call with her, but her house is not very conducive to it. And so this fellow, Eduardo, who's the son of the founder, just introduced himself during the meal and said he was so sorry he couldn't make it to the lecture last night. And so he offered us to have a room and give us a free internet connection. And so here we are. We're in we're in the library of this Casa de Luz, giving our third Thursday World Peace Diet call. And it was really great that he kind of saved us. As Lisa said, you know, divine unfoldment always works, and it always, and it's true. You know, we just have to open our hearts to our intuition, and the universe will usually oblige. I think always obliges. In the big picture, there's one thing I learned a long time ago, which is not always easy to do, but when something happens that looks like it's stressful or difficult or not that great or whatever, our mind is judging it, to just say, I can't wait to see what good is going to come out of this. You know, that's a very powerfully transformative saying. I can't wait to see what good will come from this. Because, you know, we can see a lot of things that seem to be bad are happening. But there's always a higher perspective. And if we can connect with the higher perspective of the being that we are, like when we leave this body and we're looking back on our life and we see all these things that happen and we can go, yeah, I learned from that, We can see that there's a lot of learning going on. And we just do the best we can to maintain a higher state of awareness and see what good can come out of even the challenging times that we're in right now. We had quite an experience. I wasn't going to mention it, but it just occurred to me, so maybe I'll just mention it quickly here. We went to the local park here this morning early, and we were doing our Tai Chi and exercises and yoga, And then Madeline was getting ready to make our little smoothie in the back of the van, and this young man pulled up right next to us in a van, and he just started talking to us. And it turned out his wife has gone schizophrenic, and she was she's left with his three kids, and his mind was absolutely panicking because he loves her so much. He wants the best for her, but she's becoming very self-destructive. She's becoming a prostitute. She's on drugs. She's trying to get him arrested. I mean, it's like you can't. He was in a real nightmare. I mean, you talk about a nightmare you can't get out of. It seemed like. So we prayed with him. We said, look, we need to pray, and we need to, we gave him the name of the Unity prayer line, the phone number, and a few things, and gave him some CDs that we had, the meditation CDs that we've created, just some love, basically, I think that's what we can do, right? Just spend time and be with people in the darkest time. I mean, he was in the darkest time. He said, I was ready to just completely break down. I'm so grateful I found you two people, because I'm at the completely end of my rope here. And it turned out he was vegan for 6 years, actually, until he met his wife, and she said, well, she's a totally opposite, so I kind of went off it with her. But hopefully he'll get back to being vegan again, and his wife maybe. We're trying to help him to see that she really needs to do a detox and get help. But there's a tremendous amount of suffering, in this world. And he would, we never would have known. He just looked like a regular guy driving a van, but then you actually talk to him, and it's really a tremendous amount of suffering. And that is around us. And I think it's important for us to have compassion for people, not knowing, we don't know what people are going through. They may look, he started out talking to us like, oh, yeah, you've got a nice van, I got a nice van, and we have this and that, and just talking kind of shallow. And then all of a sudden he starts unloading this whole thing. Like, oh, my God. Like, I had never heard anything almost so much pain. And he was very admirable. He had such a pure love for this woman who was doing nothing but destroying herself and trying to destroy him. She tried to get him arrested, framed him, all these things. And he said, I just want her to be happy. I want to help her. Whatever I can do, I love this woman. and our children. So anyway, it's beautiful to see people really trying to make the best of situations. But we're in difficult situations. She had been very abused as a child, and all these old traumas that people experience, and then suddenly he said one day when she was about 25, after they'd been married for just 4 or 5 years, she suddenly just flipped and became a different person. And she said he heard that that's what can happen with schizophrenic people. It can suddenly just happen. But anyway, so I think all of this goes to show that we cannot control the outer world. He cannot control her. That's what's happening. But what we can control is our response to it. How do we respond? How do we connect with our intuition and respond the most skillful, loving, aware way that we can? And that's very unique. It's a very unique thing. It's very difficult for someone else to tell someone else what to do in these situations. We can just offer our support and our love, and maybe whatever, if they ask for advice, maybe whatever insight we perhaps offer. But, Madeline encouraged him to really make sure he takes good care of himself and his own mind, and not let it drag him down, too much. I mean, try to keep a positive attitude, because these things can really be difficult. So the point I want to make here is that we're in really challenging times, I think more than ever, where people are facing more severe difficulties, very often economic difficulties coupled with relationship issues, and very often health issues, either physical health or mental health issues. Very often they're interconnected. And so that's not necessarily a bad thing, because there's an old saying that people don't usually change until they hit bottom, right? And so that's probably true not only of individuals, but maybe of societies as well. And as long as we go along and cruise along and eat a lot of animal foods and everything seems to be going fine, more or less, then maybe nobody changes. But at a certain point when things start really getting more painful, then people might be willing to look again at the suffering we're inflicting on animals and see the connections. That's really the theme that we're trying to share as we, with every lecture we've been giving, lectures, a lot of lectures, and we just did several. One in Dallas day before yesterday, and then one yesterday here, and then we've been doing them in New Mexico and Arizona and so forth, to help people get the connection between our turning animals into livestock and then us, ourselves being turned into livestock, and how that's playing out in our society right now, and how we can make a positive difference ourselves. So these are some of the things that have been happening for us. We had a chance to be with you all on the first Thursday, and in the 2 weeks since then, we had a chance to be in New Mexico quite a bit. It was really cold quite a bit of that time, but then it warmed up during the day, and it was nice. And we had a little bit of a break in nature at the Elephant Butte State Park Lake there, and really enjoyed just working on. I'm working on this book, The Benevolent Revolution. I've basically finished writing it, and now I'm doing the editing and editing and editing, which is a big project. Hopefully within the next month or two, we'll be able to get it to the publisher, and he said he can get it published pretty quickly. So it's Casey Taft, who's with Vegan Publishers. And so that's kind of some of the news for us. We're also keeping, let's see here, I'm just seeing a... my screen has been freezing. The screen might freeze a little bit, but hopefully the sound will get through. Our internet connection is pretty good, but it's not as good as it is when we're at our home. So we hopefully it'll get through okay. So I'd like to really encourage everyone, if you have a question or a comment, anything you would like to talk about, this is the chance that we have for us to share ideas and insights and to celebrate victories or share defeats if we feel that or whatever it is. I have a number of things I'm happy to talk about, actually, the things that I've been thinking about. But I also want to really honor the fact that this is your time. And so please just feel free to unmute your phone and or raise your hand, and we can say something. I notice there is a question here about Michael Clapper. I'll just say, if he's a freedom person or not, or pro-vax, he's in the middle, as far as I can tell. He's in the middle. It's kind of a long story, but he's a doctor. He's an MD. He's trying to work to bring the vegan message to medical school students. That's his passion. That's his mission. And we were talking about it last night at dinner. And the problem is there's no funding for that. When he's speaking all the time, he was traveling, you know, by plane and car and whatever to medical schools, you know, all over the United States and speaking to them and promoting a plant-based diet and telling them that, you know, if you want your patients to be healthy, you know, you should really integrate this into your education. Cause he said they're not learning it. They're just not learning it. But he never got paid ever. He never gets paid. He just pays for. He just does it on his own. So he needs to set up a nonprofit. So he and right now he's trying to set up a nonprofit to get donations so he can continue to do this. And it's a little easier now because he's doing it more by Zoom, which is not so expensive. But I think maybe it's not as effective either. I'm not sure. But anyway, so he's a doctor and he's going to medical schools, and I think he cannot publicly speak out against vaccines. That would destroy his whole mission. Although, of course, I wish he would, in a sense, but he's not. But he also, I don't think he, because I might have mentioned this before, when this thing first happened in April of 2020, he called me on the phone because I was already speaking out against the whole thing. And he's the only one. He's the only one, really, in the whole vegan movement who called me up and just said, "Well, I'm concerned about what you're doing. Are you sure you want to do this? Because you're going to really put your reputation at risk, and people are going to think you're wrong." And he said, "And I myself," he said, "I think you are wrong." He thought, you know, he said, "I think you're wrong. I think that COVID, this is before anybody was talking about vaccines. He said, I think COVID is real. I think it's dangerous. And I think, you know, we should just follow the protocols, and we should be wearing masks, and we should be locking down. And that's what the CDC says. So I think we should be doing that. And so I tried to reason with him. I said, you know, Michael, come on. I mean, don't you know that the PCR test, which is what people are using to actually say that someone has COVID, that it's a sham. I mean, the PCR test is a total sham. The guy that invented it says you can never use it to diagnose anything, and it's well understood that if you increase the amplification rate of that test, you can find, like Carrie Mullis said, the inventor, he said, you can find anything in anybody. You can find anything in anybody. Sorry, he said. So, you know, so they're doing it. They just ramp it up to like 35 or 40 amplification cycles, and they can get all kinds of false positives and create a psyop, create a whole, the idea to, you know, terrify everybody into staying home and locking down and thinking that they're sick if they get any little thing. And I told them, I said, and then what they're doing is anybody who dies of anything, they're calling it a COVID death. If someone dies of pneumonia, and if most of these people have at least two or three comorbidities and they're dying, and the average age of death is 79 years old for COVID. I mean, you think it's really COVID, or you think it's probably the diabetes and the cancer and the heart disease and the liver disease and all the other problems that these people have? They were already had one foot in the grave and one foot on a banana peel, you know, and now they die and they blame it on COVID and they scare everybody. And so he listened to me, and I thought I must have really convinced him, you know. I said all that, you know, and then he sat there and he just said, you know, no, that's not true. He said, I'm a doctor, and I know when I send something out to the lab, I can trust the lab. And if the lab says it's COVID, it must be COVID. You know, that's it. I mean, they're like the doctors don't know anything about anything except what they're told, right? They don't know anything about nutrition because they're not taught nutrition. They don't know anything about vaccines because they're not taught about vaccines. They get like one class on nutrition, and they get one class on vaccines, and they get one class maybe on they just say, just send it out to the lab and the lab will tell you what to do. And then when they tell you what to do, then you do this. They teach them how to do certain procedures and how to diagnose certain things and how to use drugs. But basically, and so I realized I'm not going to get anywhere, unfortunately. And another time he sent me an email, because I was really saying, you know, that these masks are dangerous. And then he got upset with me and he said, people wear masks all the time. I'm a doctor. I wear masks all the time. I don't think it hurts anybody. So I sent him a bunch of references, and he said he would read them, but I never heard anything again. But anyway, so it got a little rocky there, and then a friend of mine met him at a party recently, and apparently in Florida, and gave him the impression that I was angry with him. And so then he was really upset. He thought I was angry with him. I wasn't angry with him, but so I called him. I called him up actually, and I said, Michael, I'm not angry with you. I love you. You're a great doctor. Everything. We can be friends. You know. So he was so happy, and I'm happy. So we're good friends. But so we got together. We ate and we talked about things, but we just didn't talk about this because I think he must be vaccinated because he's planning on going on the health cruise. And I think to go on the health cruise, you pretty much got to be willing to be vaccinated, or for sure to be tested. So it's unfortunate, but you know, unfortunately, people in the health professionals, for the most part, have drunk the Kool-Aid and they're in it. And especially the vegan doctors. I mean, it's really Joel Kahn, and you know, it's pretty much the only vegan doctor that I know of who's speaking out a tiny, tiny little bit. Gabriel Cousins does, but he's not, they've already taken his certification away, so he has nothing to lose. But people who are actually certified and who are practicing, it's too bad. They've lost their free speech. They've lost their First Amendment rights, and that's just the reality. So I think, that anything we can do to support people in doing that is great. So I think, you know, the best thing to do is to try to keep positive relations, and then try to work on people if we can. And I'll continue to try to work on Michael, but I think it's a really tough sell. And I think also his wife is pretty much in it too. So Anyway, that's kind of the answer to your question. He of all the vegan doctors, because the nice thing is, I saw him when he was interviewed with Michael Greger, and the interviewer asked them what they think about vaccinations. And Michael Greger said, "Oh, I think they're great. You know, everybody should be vaccinated with everything." You know, he was like totally into it. And they asked Michael Clapper, and Michael didn't want to answer. He changed the subject. He just didn't even want to answer. He's not pro-vaccine. He knows they're damaging. He just doesn't want to come out and say it, you know. So he's a great guy. I mean, he's a meditator. He's done a lot of inner work, and I think he's just stuck, like so many people are. They're afraid of losing their jobs, and their passion, you know, would be put at risk. But I think, like Andy, that we should all just not comply, no matter what, because, you know, it's too serious, really. I mean, we have to be willing to, like, lose our job. Like, look at Peter McCullough. I mean, you know, look at some of these people. I mean, they really just put their, you know, they speak up and they get hammered, but you have to really respect these people for doing it. So, anyway, so that's that. And does anyone have anything you want to add or any other questions or comments or anything before we go? I want to hear from Chrissy because you've had your launch. So, yeah. Do you want to say something? I'd love to hear more about that.
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Yes, I have a number of comments. For one, of course, there's Pam Popper. She's been speaking out from day one.
But Pam Popper's not an MD. She's not an MD. That's the thing. I mean,
right.
MDs have it much harder.
Right.
The ODs and NDs, I mean, that's great when they speak out, but for MDs are like the most, the most venerated and also the most imprisoned. It's really incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're right. Yeah, Pam Popper's been.
Well, I mean, I remember. Yeah. I mean, I just remember very early on. I smelled a rat from the very beginning, just looking at things through the legal lens and the ramifications of these lockdowns and these sweeping abridgments of fundamental constitutional liberties. And I remember reaching out to you and just being so relieved and heartened that you saw what was happening too. To me, it was so obvious that it was the post 9/11 playbook all over again. And I was so disappointed that other vegans especially weren't recognizing this. And at the same time, I was also worried for you just because, you know, I'm just a regular person. I'm not a public figure. And even I had a lot of trepidation about speaking out and the fact that you were speaking out so openly. I mean, I appreciated that and I admire that and I'm glad that you did, but I was worried for you as well. You know, it's a fine line we walk between speaking truth and self-preservation. Just a couple notes on Classes to Lose. I went to Austin a few years back. It's kind of a funny story. It was sort of meant to be a romantic weekend in Austin with somebody I had met at Vegan Summerfest. So we decided to do a weekend in Austin. The romantic part of the weekend did not go so well, but we discovered Casas de Luz and loved it, and he especially loved it. So I think we went there like 3 times in 4 days or something, like every day. And I love hearing that they never sat down and never complied. And regarding the book launch, yes, thank you for asking about my launch. I have, for those of you who don't know, I had a novel called Marrying Myself that was just published just a couple weeks ago. It features a vegan protagonist, and it's a fun read, but also with a deeper message about figuring out who we are and what matters when the whole image we had of what our life is going to look like is suddenly out the window. So, you know, women's fiction, entertaining, fun journey, but with a strong self-help, self-love component. So it's available on all the usual sites, and yeah, please check it out. And also, if you could leave reviews on Amazon and all the other sites, that's especially helpful for a new author like me in getting traction. And in addition to my book launch, I had a wonderful book release party here in Nashville a couple of weeks ago. That was just absolutely wonderful. I couldn't have asked for a lovelier setting. A local neighbor of mine who lives in this historic, beautiful home, she offered to host it. she was so funny because she's like this salt of the earth, you know, tobacco chewing Tennessee woman. Like, I'm not exaggerating. She really is. She doesn't read. She read my book, and I think that was the first thing she read in, you know, probably 20 years. But just a lovely woman. She had, when I first mentioned that we were going to need to have vegan hors d'oeuvres at the party, she was really taken aback and, you know, oh, I don't know about that. Like, what's that? And she was asking things about, you know, what will we need to ask permission to take photos of the vegans who come to the party? And I was telling her, oh, vegans actually don't show up in photographs. You know, you can't photograph them. They don't appear. So I think there's some educating that happened. She and her co-host, a woman named Twisty. So my lovely hosts were Kay and Twisty. And they were just absolutely wonderful. And I did a reading from the book and an author interview and had a local bookstore there facilitating book sales. And it was just great. You know, we had a great turnout, just a beautiful event. And it just really reminded me of how, you know, when you have these accomplishments that you've worked for a long time, like the accomplishment part is great. But unless you have people there to share it with you and who are happy for you, it just would be so hollow. So I just really, really felt just so warmed and, you know, just embraced by all the people that showed up, you know, both people here in Nashville and friends and family from out of town and people who were there in spirit. And you know, it just really meant a lot to me. And, you know, fundamentally the book at its essence is a good story. Like that's what it's meant to be. But of course I have my vegan evangelical agenda of normalizing veganism through the arts. So I really hope that this book goes a long way in just injecting veganism into the world of mainstream women's fiction. And I think it does a good job of positioning veganism as just something kind of fun and normal and, you know, interesting, not that intimidating and not that big a deal. I also launched my vegan podcast, which is called Vegan Posse. And so I came up with that term. I like the word posse, but I also realized, you know, looking into the definition, like a posse is generally a group of citizens who are organized to keep the peace. And I realized, oh my gosh, that's perfect for vegans because we're not just keeping the peace, we're creating it, you know, through our food choices and beyond. And I just love the idea that even though it can feel so isolating and lonely, you know, living a vegan life in a not yet vegan world, really there's a whole posse of individuals around the world who are living lives of integrity and compassion and, you know, working for justice for all living beings. So that's the aim of this posse, is just to highlight some of the interesting people. Lisa was one of my early interviews, and that interview just aired a couple weeks ago. So I'll post all the info in the chat. But those are the big things going on with me. And, just happy to see everybody and happy to hear that Will's doing well in Austin. Such a great town, such a vegan-friendly town, especially for Texas.
It is, yeah. Well, that's great. Congratulations on your wonderful book launch, Chrissy. I'm so glad to hear that. And also congratulations on the launching of your podcast and that you had Lisa Wong already on your podcast. That's fantastic. Are you going to be public? Are you going to be doing these?
Yes, I'd love to.
Regular.
I definitely would like to have you on at this point.
Great. Yeah, I'd be happy to, for sure. Yeah. Good. Well, let's.
Okay. Yeah, I will let you know.
Yeah, keep us posted on that. And maybe you can write it in a link in the chat or something for your podcast so we can find it.
I will. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good. My gosh, that's a lot. Yeah, I do think that novels are a great way to spread the vegan message, and I highly recommend reading marrying myself, because it's a fun read, and it's the main character is someone you can sympathize with. And so the whole idea, I think, is sort of normalizing veganism, making it like it's a normal, like this is a people like us,
right.
Not unusual.
Oh, I forgot to mention too, I was just interviewed for the Our Hemp House podcast.
Oh, good.
So that interview is going to air next month, I think. And then Victoria Moran's going to have me on her podcast as well. So it's kind of interesting, you know, connecting professionally with these pro-vax folks. You know, because I know Victoria Moran is
mainstream,
and I think the other thing that I was going to mention, just a comment regarding Michael Clapper, because I have only met him a couple times at Vegan Summerfest, and just have such a good impression of him. He's such a kind, you know, just a kind, nice person.
He is. Yeah.
But it's so fascinating to how people can be exposed to the same information and we can come away with totally different impressions. Like, I have a good friend in New York City who is pro-vax with the mainstream, but she watched your whole summit, the Worldwide Vegan Summit for Truth and Freedom. She watched the whole thing. And she told me afterwards, she said, you know, now I have a much better understanding of where you're coming from. And that meant a lot to me that she had thought that out and exposed her to that information, but it didn't change her mind. She said something like, oh, I agree with only 90% of what people are saying. It's just in the last 10% that I diverged. But it seems like that 10% is everything. The 10% means she'll wear a mask, she'll lock down, she'll get into her people are just funny. I don't know. I don't quite know what to make of it.
Yeah, everybody has their the pressures that are on them. You know, the social I think a lot of people are sensitive to social pressure, and an online summit, it's information, but then there's the social pressure that very often trumps that, right? They are friends and family. You can't come here if you're not tested, or if you're not vaccinated, you can't work, you can't, you know, those pressures are really big on a lot of people. So I think we got to take that into account also. And that's true for veganism, too. People understand all these things, but when it comes to not eating turkey at Thanksgiving, they don't want to make their mother upset or, you know, whatever. So the social pressure is a huge, we're so tribal. You know, we want to do what the tribe is doing. If everybody's getting vaccinated in the tribe, then we think we should do that, too. So it is important, I think, like we've been saying, to stick with our principles. And I think as vegans, we should have been practicing this the whole time. That's why I always thought that vegans would be the ones who would be leading the charge to just never comply with all these attacks on our rights, especially by the pharmaceutical industry. And yet vegans caved right in, many of them. A lot of them, not everybody, but we're still feeling it. Just 2 days ago, I just found out that when we gave the lecture just the other day in Dallas, I noticed it was kind of interesting. And we gave this lecture in Dallas, and it was very nice. The woman put it on. She really did a great job. She worked hard. She got a lot of people to show up at the venue. And we get ready to start, and I noticed she just looked kind of distracted and kind of nervous, more than normal, and introduced me, and then we get started and everything. But she told Madeline later, right before we left, that right when she was getting ready to introduce me, one of the local vegan activists in Dallas sent her a text. She said a very nasty text, you know, basically condemning her for organizing a lecture with Will Tuttle, who is a known anti-vaxxer, right? And she's one of the leaders of the vegan movement in Dallas. She sent her this nasty text, so suddenly she was kind of, she was kind of clueless. She didn't know that there was a whole division in the vegan movement between vaxxed and unvaxxed. She just was kind of going along, not really realizing it. I think, I'm not sure where she stands. I think, you know, her husband is an MD, so I think they are vaxxed probably. But they also question things. So anyway, she, you know, we're seeing it. I mean, we see it everywhere. It still raises its ugly head, you know, quite a bit. And I'm sure it's not over. The division in our movement over this whole thing, it'll probably, you know, continue in our whole society. So I think it's good, you know, to just speak up and say what we think and let people know how we feel. And I think also, and the funny thing is, I was just going to say, the funny thing is that people who are vegans, especially like very activist vegans who are pro-vaccine, doesn't make sense. I mean, vaccines always contain animal products and are tested on animals. I mean, they're promoted by the most vicious anti-vegan industry there is. Like it'd be almost like going out and I'm a vegan activist and I want you to make sure you eat some eggs and some fish, you know.
Well, it's so funny because one of my vegan friends here in Nashville told me, apparently, I haven't followed up on this recently, but apparently the Worldwide Vegan Society or whatever the official...
Oh, no, you're right, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Apparently they said it's okay for vegans to get the vaccine, like as if we have some official authority that, you know, tells us what's vegan and what's not, you know.
She's referring to...
And I really feel for Jen.
Yeah. She's referring to the Vegan Society, which is, you know, it's founded by Donald Watson in London. And it's true. They've come out publicly and saying that getting vaccinated is part of what Donald Watson would have liked you to have done, because in order to be an effective advocate, you have to be healthy. To be healthy, you have to be vaccinated, so you just better get vaccinated. That's what they're saying. I mean, even though I think Donald Watson would turn over in his grave, personally, I mean... Because it's an obviously anti-animal thing on every level, and anti-human animal too. But it's part of the.
Yeah, and I feel for Dr. Jen Hawk, who's partnered with Michael Greger, you know, talking about division.
Oh, I don't know about that. Who's this?
Jen Hawk.
She's anti-vax, or?
Jen Hawk is Doug Lyle. She's Doug Lyle's colleague, and they do a lot of work together. They do a psychology podcast.
Really, you know,
a lot of talks about the plant.
Your connection's a little bit breaking up, so it's a little hard to hear, but.
Is it? Yeah, you're freezing up a little bit on me, so I don't know if people can hear me, but Jen Hawk and Doug Lyle, they're both PhDs. They're not medical doctors, but they're PhDs, and they both speak a lot of truth about what's going on. And Jen Hawk's partner, who she lives with, is Dr. Michael Greger, and he's as entrenched in the traditional medicine world as a guest, and he's going on that holistic cruise, which does indeed require injection. And apparently they just have a pact not to talk about it. That's the only way they can.
They didn't talk about it. Right. Thank you. Thanks. Interesting. Thanks. Margie, you have your hand up. Would you like to say something? Thank you.
Come on.
We're having technical problems here.
Can you hear me?
That's a little better. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, just wanted to check in because I just arrived in Florida just ahead of you. You and looking forward to seeing you in Monticello. I'm going there of their budding community that I heard about on this call, which John shared with all. So I'm just so appreciative of all that you're doing and connecting with this group. I'm feeling a little on my own. So I'm looking great to have you. And I'll look forward to seeing you, Madeline and Lisa. I don't know if she's coming to Monticello. I will be there next week. You in Tallahassee.
Great. Great. Yeah, it's a little hard to hear you. But thank you. Thank you. Andy, did you have something you'd like to say?
Probably 1,000 things. First, I'm very grateful that you talked about your whole interaction with Dr. Michael Clapper, because it's very, very interesting hearing about that and his views, and you know, who knows, maybe he's a little more open than others. But what I've experienced also and thought about is a lot of these MDs and PhDs also, I know obviously you're very different, and I remember you talking about PhDs are more open to thinking on their own, but the MDs, they, besides all of the studies that they've done, they've spent thousands of dollars to go to medical school, and they've studied for everything, and they're also, our whole society has been programmed to be putting MDs up on a pedestal. And so suddenly, when they're, you know, for years, they've been put on a pedestal and admired, and our society has been taught to admire them, and a lot of them have become pretty arrogant about it, to suddenly, it's like they're being put in their place because they're not allowed to just even speak. And instead of being respected for what they say, they're being told they can't say whatever they want. So it's just very interesting to see that. And then a lot of them, I think, are terrified, even though common sense probably tells them that, you know, that none of this makes sense, you know, nothing they're recommending to do is healthy. I think that whole image and that whole being programmed to think, you know, everything we do in medicine is right, and I spent all this money and all these, you know, years of study, I don't want to give that up. So I suspect a lot of them just don't, you know, they might suspect the opposite is true, but they're too terrified of letting go of everything, that whole image that they're supposed to be, and then the safety of, you know, having this career where they can pay their bills and be on top of the world and maybe above others. And it's because I go out and I, you know, I do the van life and I talk to everybody. I'm out there day and night talking to everybody. I talk to completely homeless people or people that do the mobile life, and I talk to very wealthy people also. And the people that are most open to hearing it all are the homeless people, because they have been so crapped on by society for their whole lives. And so they're open to hearing things, how society has really messed up. And, you know, them thinking for themselves is a valid, wonderful thing, and what, you know, what they're doing. So of all the people that I've talked to, I think the homeless mostly are more open than anyone else. They haven't, they don't have something set in it, you know, this pressure that they have to live up to and this career and all of these expenses that, you know, they have to do as they're told to keep all of these beautiful things they have. They've lost that all already, so they can still think for themselves. But anyway, I'm also very glad to be, and I don't even know if you can hear me because it looks like maybe, I don't know, I see you're talking. Can you hear me at all? Or?
Yeah, I do hear you.
You're good.
Yeah. You're good. No, you're good.
Okay.
It's a little tough, but you're doing pretty good. Yeah.
okay, yeah, everybody's been sort of freezing up with whatever's going on. But so the other thing, too, and Will, I don't know if you have any thoughts on this or if you saw it. I was absolutely devastated a few days ago. Well, first I found myself, I've been finding myself very angry at the Freedom Community for a couple months now. And then someone sent me this thing on these babies being born in these pod things. And I just was like, between that and observing day and night, the complete redesign of Encinitas, where I live, every single road is being changed and worked on, and buildings are being built for, you know, vaccine stuff, for residential, packing people in. And nobody seems to notice because they're not announcing it on the news. And, you know, I try to wake people up and say, well, where do you think all this money is coming from? Everybody's lost their jobs. They're even doubling the rent on businesses, like the 99-cent store is closing, the Tuesday morning is closing in this one location, and already a 24-hour fitness is closing. Each one of them said because they've doubled the rent. And it's like they're doing that to kick businesses out of certain areas for more of their own design. And the street is being worked on day and night, every street, everywhere. And so my thought is this is coming out of people's social securities or pensions or whatever, but the people are paying for it and they're not aware, you know. So this pod thing. When I saw these babies being born out of pods, I just completely lost it. I was just like, and then of course the way they were advertising, this was like this whole big advertisement type thing. Like, this is wonderful, reminded me of the whole promotion of Black Lives Matter sign. You know, promoting one thing, but the money is going to the evil source. So, anyway, that's where I've been at. So suddenly, when you started out with the meditation and just being there, I already felt better. And I'm just wondering, does this stuff ever forget to you? Or, you know, how do you deal with the complete insane asylum that we're living in, and you still have a positive outlook. I don't know. I'm very grateful and appreciative, but I'm not there.
Thank you. Thanks, Andy, really, for saying that. And I'm doing my best right this second because we have now, we're in Casa de Luz, and they've got this music event going right below us, and it's really loud music here. I don't know if you can hear it or not. But anyway, it's also making it a little bit harder to hear you over the music, as well as I think our connection is not as strong as it could be. But, you know, one thing we have to be aware of is that, I keep saying it, the big picture. And the big picture is we just do our best every single day to help create a more loving, compassionate, aware world and help liberate animals and human beings and help spread the truth as we see it in the light. We cannot change other people or the other events. We have power over our own message and how we live our lives. So there's good things happening. I mean, there are people like what you're doing, Andy, just helping to talk to people and find out and share your ideas and put up flyers and just all the 10,000 things you're doing and a lot of other people are doing also. It adds up. It creates an energy field and an action base that does have an impact. And like we're going to be in a week, we're going to be in Tallahassee, we'll be in Florida. And I thank you, Margie. I think you're probably still listening. And we're looking forward to seeing you when we speak in Tallahassee. And also, you remember, everybody, when we had Chantal on? Chantal is a woman, she and her husband, she's from Switzerland, he's from Canada. They're starting a vegan community in Florida, Vegan Freedom Community in Florida. So we're going to go there on the next day, on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, and kind of check out their land and their place and just kind of see what it is. And then we're going to head down to West Palm Beach, and we'll be speaking at Hippocrates Health Institute for the next 7 weeks in the West Palm Beach area. But like in Florida, there's a lot of people like you, Andy, who are really freedom activists who are meeting and doing things to help promote health freedom. And there's a lot of vegan activists too in Florida. I mean, we find vegan activists everywhere and health freedom activists everywhere. There's a lot of them here in Texas. We found them in New Mexico and Arizona and everywhere we go. But in Florida right now, you probably just heard that Governor Ron DeSantis has really done a major thing. We'll see how it all goes, but he's the first government in the world, the Florida state government, the first government in the world to create a criminal grand jury to investigate the CDC and the pharmaceutical industries for crimes against humanity. And so this is happening. And they're actually doing a criminal investigation into the way that the vaccines have been rolled out and the damage that's been done. And they're also doing other things along the same lines. There's four different things that they're doing. But he can only do that because of grassroots activists who create the conversations that support that. And so I just want to encourage everyone, wherever you live, I know like Kathy Christian, you're doing great work, and I know everybody, and Angel, all of you, Chrissy, Ann, everybody on here, I know, Judy, Susan, I mean, all of you are doing things to help bring, keep the conversation alive on veganism and also freedom for all of us. And that it makes a difference, ultimately. But also we need to look at the bigger picture, I think. We have to do our best. I think this has happened probably a few times before on this earth, possibly. I mean, we don't know for sure, but I remember when I used to teach Plato, I mean, he has a lot in there in his dialogues about Atlantis. And Atlantis and how there was a very highly evolved civilization. And they started doing exactly what we're doing. They started doing genetic engineering on animals and humans and mixing humans and animals together and doing these very perverse things. And the violence and perversity of that society, they destroyed themselves. And so, a few thousand years later, whatever it is, I'm not sure how many thousands of years, here we are again. And trying again. And there's our spiritual teachers who say that this has happened quite a few times. We get to a certain point and then we self-destruct because we don't have a spiritual foundation to our society. And so will we make it this time or maybe we won't? Maybe it'll just self-destruct again and we start over again. When something dies, something is always born out of that. And there are tremendous, unfortunately, I have to say, it looks, on one level, it looks kind of bleak, and just this whole nuclear saber-rattling that's going on with the Pentagon literally promoting a nuclear war with Russia. I mean, this is unprecedented. I mean, to have the Pentagon actually giving Ukraine permission to send...
I think we did.
Oh, wait.
There he is.
Did he come back?
Yes.
He's back.
And no background noise. How'd you get...
Can you hear me? Okay. I'm sorry about the background noise. It's like happy people making music here. Do the best I can. Yeah, I can use this. I'll use this. This might help. But you won't be able to hear me. That's all right. Okay, so. All right. Okay, is that better? Can you hear me better, maybe,
yes.
A little bit?
Yeah.
Yes. I just talked right into this. And
that.
Thank
you.
Yeah, sorry.
That
okay.
That was terrible.
Really? Okay, I'm sorry. So, what I was saying before, I just mentioned briefly that we're going to be in Tallahassee and seeing Margie and Chantal and her husband from France and the vegan community there. And then I was just talking about what your point, Andy,
of this whole, the very the bleak view, it looks like, of where our society is going and the suffering and so forth. We have to remember we're spiritual beings. You know, our physical bodies are they're projections into a reality. They're like, it's like a dream. You know, it's real, but it's a projection. And when it's over, we look back and we say, oh yeah, we learned this. You know, that guy was my enemy. Now he's my friend. Now we're laughing. It's like after a play is over and backstage everybody's, you know, the antagonist and the protagonist, they're, you know, having a glass of tea together and talking about things and how it all went. So, you know, I think it's really important to just keep a bigger perspective and keep our center and keep being a force for light and love and caring and compassion, and realize that there are tremendous forces at play here that have been gathering momentum for thousands of years. They've been going along. There's been these dark forces of domination and exploitation of animals and of human beings, and they have their claws deeply into every institution in our society. It's not just the meat. They've got it into the banks. They've got it into the whole medical profession, the corporations, the educational all the education, religion, for the most part. So even though it's a relatively small number of people that control it, they control other people through bribery and blackmail but just buying them off and then through brainwashing people through the media. So it's very interesting to look, you know, to go down the rabbit hole and go as deep as you can and see who's really behind all this. What these entities are. They may be interdimensional entities. They may be, other beings. But anyway, they're using people like Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab and who knows else, other people, obviously, who are running, the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations and the Bilderberg Group and ConAgra and Cargill and, Pfizer and all these huge corporations and banks. And they are putting the squeeze on humanity. So I think really it's a test, you know. We're here just for a few decades. We came right at the time when it's really heating up to the actual fever pitch. Can we actually link up with our wisdom and compassion and creativity and create a template of awakening and kindness, live it ourselves, and then share it in a way that will actually be victorious? And ultimately it will be. I mean, like Atlantis, they failed, right? And it self-destructed. And like I was saying, we have now the Pentagon actually promoting directly a hot nuclear war with Russia and talking about bombing them and Putin getting ready to do, they're not going to take it lying down. They're going to fight. They're going to retaliate. So people's concern about a lot of things, it's kind of like the Titanic, you know, you're on the Titanic and already you're trying to get this guy to go vegan. Come on, would you please go vegan? It'll be great, you know. And meanwhile, we've just hit an iceberg and the whole ship is sinking. You want him to go vegan before it sinks, right? Well, all right. But at this point, these forces are huge. So I think it's good to prepare, right? You know, be prepared for whatever's coming. And I think the best preparation is spiritual preparation, really, ultimately, to be aware of our consciousness and purity. And then the other thing is to, yeah, be prepared as best we can for supplies and things. I'm not sure, you know, we all have our own situations. And then just do the best to be loving and kind and help people. You know, ultimately, that's what's going to matter. When we leave our body, it's not going to matter. And we look back, if we were able to, live a longer life or whatever. What's going to matter is the quality of our life, the quality of our consciousness and how we live. And that's what we take with us. That's what we emanate to others all the time. So I think that's the hardest thing right now, because we're getting bombarded with fear and bombarded with anger, messages of divisiveness and so forth. So to question all that and keep living a vegan life for animals and for other people and planting the seeds of awakening to question these narratives that make us think that we need to trust any kind of governmental official. The mantra should really be, do not comply. You can never comply your way out of tyranny. That's the thing to understand. We can never comply our way out of tyranny. And the other thing is, what if we turn animals into livestock, we become livestock. The way to liberate humanity is to liberate animals. I mean, these basic understandings, this is what we can keep putting this out. So that's what we're doing. We're just doing the best we can to get those ideas out into the, whoever will listen, you know, whoever will, whoever will listen. And right now it's not that many, but I think more and more people will. So I just want to, you know, thank all of you for your efforts in this, because it is super challenging, and the heat's getting turned up on every level. And unfortunately, a lot of our family, the vegan family, has drunk the Kool-Aid. I'm publicly starting to question global warming, the whole global warming narrative, the whole global climate change narrative, the whole global overpopulation narrative. Most vegans are totally into that. They just say, you know, we've got to go vegan for the climate. You've got to go vegan and have no children, you know. But is that really, who's behind these messages? We have to really question that. Who's behind these messages? Climate destabilization or climate breakdown or global warming, it's another good excuse to lock people down. And the overpopulation thing is another good reason to kill everybody, basically, cull the herd. So I think we have to be willing to go even against, not like we're used to going against mainstream, now we have to go against our own family in a way, but we have to do it with love and with evidence, whatever evidence we can muster, and then there is a lot actually, and also our intuition, our inner wisdom. So I just appreciate all of you, and it's pretty much time for us to close up here too. It's been an hour and a half, and I think the technical has been a little bit challenging. I apologize for that. I'm sorry. It's been kind of hard for us to hear each other sometimes. So the next couple of months will be at Hippocrates, where usually we have a nice strong connection. It should be no problem for a while. I'm not sure in March and April, but we'll be back home in April. So we'll do our best in the meantime. Does anybody have any last-minute thoughts they want to share? We only have about two or three more minutes, but if you do, I'd be happy to, we're all happy to hear them. Otherwise, we can maybe do our closing prayer, but I'm happy. There's a lot, and also please check out the resources that we did for this month, for December. There's really a lot of great stuff here. There's this new vegan documentary, India, Land of Ahimsa, which is fantastic. There's some great articles in here from the vegan point of view. And then we've got a lot of stuff, really good. I mean, Ed Dowd's article, They Lied, People Died. There's so many great things. So please check out the resources. There's way more than we can talk about right now. But there's a lot of progress.
Will?
Working hard to help raise awareness about all these things. Yes, Andy.
Well, I'm sorry. I know that you sent a link one time with the resources, but if I just want to find the resources, are they on your website?
Yeah.
Or
they're always there. They're not. You can't see them. I mean, it's private. But you just go to the same link. I can put it in here. It's just worldpeacemastery.com. I'll do it right now.
Okay, worldpeacemastery.com is the site rather than worldpeacediet.com.
Yeah, I'll put it in right now. It's worldpeacemastery.com/circle, all right, this is the World Peace Circle, /conference. So this is basically our monthly conferences. So that's it. Just put in worldpeacemastery.com/circle/conference, but then you got to put in HTML.
One second. worldpeacemastery.com/the word circle.
Yeah.
And then what?
Then the word.
And then what's after circle?
Then slash, and then
what?
Conference. Then slash, and then conference. I just put it into the chat. You can just read it right there.
Okay. Okay.
worldpeacemastery.com.
Thank you very much.
/circle/conference.html. All the
thank you.
There, going back 13 years, or 11 years, whatever it is, we've been doing this. So it's all there. All right, so I will I'll type up some of these links that are in the chat and send them out to everybody by email. I know some of you don't get our emails. That's just a function of spam filters, I think, unfortunately. But we will do our best to stay in touch. I'll also put them up at the World Peace Diet Facilitators Facebook group. So things are up there also. You can always go to the Facebook group and see the links there. So thank you, everyone. Thank you, Kathy. Hats off always to Kathy Christian for sending out such great information to your list all the time. I'm so glad I'm on. I really recommend everybody get on Kathy Christian's email list. Tremendous resources there. So let's get together. Maybe can you should come over? We'll do our closing prayer. This would be great. So here we are. We're in Casa de Luz, the house of light, the house of a big noise right now. We have a lot of...
Hare Krishna.
The Hare Krishna. So I'm going to take off.
So let's just say our prayer together. feel free to unmute yourself. We'll see how this goes. Let's say our prayer together in the Circle of Compassion prayer. Here we go. Compassion
and circle all beings everywhere.
Again?
Compassion, circle the earth, all beings everywhere.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone. Namaste, y'all.
Hey, bless you.
Bless you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for doing this.
Happy
everyone.
Bye,
Judy.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. 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 Bye.